We'll take your calls on this question of the time share. You know, there's so many people in this awkward position. Say maybe a friend gave a salesperson your details when the salesperson asked for referrals. And then the salesperson arranges a meeting with you to tell you more about a holiday club that gives you access to thousands of accommodation options. And he makes it sound so easy and just so straightforward. You pay upfront for your annual holiday accommodation. He tells you that once you've signed up, you'll receive the glossy catalogue every year with new places to visit, and all you have to do is just page through it and pick your dream holiday. And that when you've earned your points, one of the expert friendly consultants are just a phone call away so that you can book your holiday. It sounds heavenly. Well, you know what? Over the years, maybe you found that you kept your side of the agreement, but the points you hope to accumulate or amount to nothing. They prove to be worthless. You are now saddled with unreasonable property levies and an availability of accommodation, and you just have not received the value that you thought you'd receive. So this year, the National Consumer Commission finally took a step against the industry when it held its first round of public hearings into the timeshare industry. And they're set to continue these rounds of hearings next year. But there's a lawyer who's decided not to wait for that process, and she feels that a class action would be a good consideration in light of the legal problem that many consumers are faced with. So joining us now is Trudy Brookman, and she is an attorney at Trudy Brookman Attorneys, to talk about this class action, but also some of the problems that her clients have encountered when it comes to timeshare. Trudy, good afternoon.
Hi, Zanya. Thanks for having me on the show.
A pleasure to talk to you. When I saw the news yesterday that you were looking at a class action, and knowing that Gauteng, for instance, has the highest number of complaints about timeshare, we thought it would be opportune to afford our listeners an opportunity to hear your side and what you've experienced over the years with dealing with your clients. So I was painting a picture about the problem that some people will experience or have experienced with timeshare. What have you encountered?
Azania, I think it's important for consumers out there to know that there's a lot of marketing at the initial stages, as you mentioned, of timeshare and the products that are sold to South African consumers. There are a lot of South African timeshare consumers. Back in 2011, there were 740,000 of them already. I'm sure it's much more now. Mm-hmm. And what they experience subsequently is that they are tied into contracts in perpetuity. So that's a long word just to say that the contract doesn't have an end date, and there's no way to cancel it in terms of the contract itself. I have figured out some other ways of cancelling, and I'm sure your local attorney would be able to do the same sort of thing. A contract in perpetuity means that you're obliged to keep on paying. It doesn't matter how much the annual levies increase every year until you die. And then the timeshare company markets very aggressively to your beneficiaries under your will, your descendants. And in certain cases, they take over and they have to pay until they die. So it's a contract in perpetuity. Hmm. It's a very troublesome thing if you, at any stage in your life, have a little dip in your income levels.
Right.
Of course, we all have when we become pensioners. It's a problem in terms of the marketing.
Oh, how did that happen? We've lost Trudy. The line wasn't consistent at a point. So we'll try and get her back. So she was talking about the marketing tactics. What have you encountered? Were you lured to an event where you were sold timeshare under the guise that it's something else, that it's something completely different? And what's been your experience? Have you been able to cancel your contract? And we'll talk to Trudy about that aspect as well. But the first problem that she has encountered with her clients is that these contracts are often in perpetuity. Can you imagine being locked in something for the rest of your life, hey, with no end in sight? So let's try and catch up on that conversation with Trudy Brookman. We'd lost her prior to the break. Trudy, thank you for staying with us. So the first question or issue that you identified was that the contracts are in perpetuity. So the process of cancellation has been quite complicated for a number of customers. Why is that so? Why is it so difficult to get out of it or to cancel?
I suppose the technical legal reason is that one's combining legal rules that come from various areas in the law. So okay. The one is the Consumer Protection Act that only applies when you signed your contract after 31st March 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, there's the Property Timesharing Control Act. And that's the key one where we find that the Act prescribes certain aspects that you need to deal with in the contract. And I've been astounded to discover that with all the holiday club contracts that clients have sent to me, that none of them comply with Section 4 of the Property Timesharing Control Act. What that means is that the contracts are void. In other words, they never became effective. They were never valid from the beginning. And that's where my class action that I'm planning is comes in. Obviously, if you and I have a contract between us which we think is valid, then we discover, oh dear, the contract is completely void. Mm-hmm. Then I need to give back everything that I've received from you. You need to give back everything that I've received.
Is that the recourse you're seeking through the class action for consumers to be paid back their contributions?
That's right. So literally, whatever you paid for the points plus your annual levies or management fees or whatever you want to call them.
And does this concern certain holiday clubs or all of them? What is this a problem across the sector?
I think it's probably across the sector. Zanya, all of the ones that have come across my desk, Quality Vacation Club, African Club Innovations, Multi-Destination Club, Green Vacations, Lifestyle Vacation Club, Flexi Club, all of those, I've seen the same problem with their contracts.
Oh, I see. So you can't speak for every single one that exists in South Africa, but these are the ones that you've dealt with. We've got a couple of calls.
I think it's a fair proportion of them.
A fair proportion. Okay. And I'm sure your clients are so frustrated. We're taking calls now, and I want to hear from our listeners what their experience have been. It must be so frustrating to have been paying for something where you've derived no value. Were they even holidays? Did you manage to even find clients or customers who managed to get the accommodation they were promised when they could travel? Did they have access ultimately? And are these portfolios real?
Azania, my experience is that, obviously, I only know my clients. I have about 70 clients by this time who've approached me.
Mm-hmm.
And their story has been fairly consistently that they've really struggled to make bookings. Over half of them have never managed to go on one holiday since they purchased the points, and most of them have had the points for longer, from 2010 or earlier. So it is a real struggle. I initially, the truth, I didn't believe it. I myself rang up one of the call centers. I gave a membership number, maybe a little bit dishonestly, it was one of my clients once, and said, please can give me a booking in Cape Town. I don't care whether it's this year or next year or the year after.
Mm.
I just want to go to Cape Town. At some stage, it doesn't need to be school holidays.
Mm.
It can be in the week or over the weekend, doesn't matter. They weren't able to give me a booking.
And this so is, like you said, you gave them 3 years. Was there any time in 3 years? Jeez.
Weren't able to do it.
Wow. Let's go to the lines now. Bob, you're calling from Roodepoort. So good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Azania.
Hi, Bob.
My experience is that I've been a member of one of these timeshare shared property things for a while, probably for about 15 years or so.
Yeah.
Admittedly, I own very few points. I didn't realize that with the number of points that I've got, because the points escalate every year, I was only able to use my timeshare after banking and saving points up, and I probably was taking a holiday every 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I decided that this doesn't work for me anymore, and I want to dispose of my points.
Yeah.
I contacted the timeshare company, who told me that I need to go to the agent, and they gave me the agent's details, and they would go ahead and advertise the points.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that these points actually don't have any market value. Compared to what I paid for them and what's available on the market now, one would have thought that these points are worth a lot more than what I paid for them 15 years ago.
Right.
Bearing in mind that there's a title deed and it's an asset that goes with it.
Mm.
there was absolutely nothing. In fact, if you go and check on the classified OLX and Gumtree and that type of thing, people selling probably 8, 9, 10 times the number of points that I have. Jeez. They just want to basically get rid of it.
Yes.
Some people actually want to get rid of it without even charging you anything. The reason being is because the transfer duty itself is prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
So the transfer duty, if you were to buy my points, in my case, my asking price for the points was way less than the actual transfer duty itself.
Wow.
So I decided I'm not going to sell my points. It's easier to just cancel my stuff. So I contacted them, and lo and behold, they write back to me telling me that, yes, we can cancel your contract. However, your cancellation fee is almost 5,000 rand. Now, if I were to cancel, I was told when I bought that I could cancel at any time. Why do I need to pay a cancellation fee to get out of a contract that, like your guest is explaining, is a contract in perpetuity? And they, after I made a fuss about it, I received a following email indicating that, okay, we have started the cancellation process on your behalf, but as a gesture of goodwill, we will waive the cancellation fee. So my question is, first of all, how many of these contracts are indeed valid, like your guest is pointing out?
Mm.
And the second point is that how many people are being suckered into paying the cancellation fee when those who actually make a fuss about it have the cancellation fee waived?
Right. Bob, thank you for painting that scenario. It just shows how difficult it is to get out of these contracts. Vic, you in Pretoria East, you have a positive experience with timeshare.
Good day, Azanzania. Yes, this is Vic in Pretoria. If I do have a positive aspect that I would like to paint,
mm-hmm.
I bought my timeshare in 1991, and that's for the Sea Point timeshare group in Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
I paid about 12,000 rand then. The positive aspect about it is that on a yearly basis, I've got to pay a levy of, well, it's increasing annually.
Mm.
At this present moment, it's about 5,500. But what I do when I don't go on holiday on any year, I do ask them to put the week that has been rented out to me into what they call a rental pool. And what I've realized over the last number of years is that they normally ensure that I get a profit on the rental that they would have, yes. And what I do then is basically pay the levy out of the revenue gotten
from the rental. All right,
and
yeah.
I do have a surplus of about 2,000 rand into my pocket.
Mm.
So for me, that's a positive aspect about it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's working as it should, and you have access to the property for your breaks, for your holidays.
Exactly. The second one, quickly, is the holiday trap one.
Mm.
And definitely there are negative aspects to it, but what I do with my points as well, I do look at, during the course of the year, I do look at off-peak periods.
Okay.
And I do get very good apartments during the course of the year, say during the school holidays for my kids, and I get very good apartments with very low points.
Yeah, Vic, we do have to leave it there because we've got to take headlines.
Yes.
But thank you for those two scenarios and how they're working for you. We'll come back to Trudy Brockman after the headlines. My guest is Trudy Brockman, who is an attorney. She's looking at a class action suit when it comes to what's happening in the timeshare industry. There is that National Consumer Commission investigation, of course, that inquiry and public hearings that have been held. They're not done with the process. They held the first round this year in July. The next round is set to happen in early 2018, I should say. So more of your calls and a wrap-up with Trudy after the headlines. All right, my guest is Trudy Brockman, and she is an attorney at Trudy Brockman Attorneys, and looking at what is possible legally to somehow try and get value or the contracts, rather, of those that are stuck in these timeshare contracts cancelled. And she's finding that legally there are a number of problematic areas. Trudy, there was the question of points earlier on from Bob. Are these points worth the value that they said to be worth?
I've sent about 48 letters to timeshare companies, Azania, and in each of those letters, I've put in a paragraph in which I say to them, please can you prove what the value of the points are? What is the market value of the points? Just send me any proof that you have. They've never bothered to respond to me on that. And as Bob has pointed out, whenever you log on to Gumtree, you should be able to find a person who is willing to give away their points in exchange for someone taking over their levy. So my view is that as far as I can tell, these points do not have a value. Despite the fact that you may have paid hundreds of thousands of rands for them, they don't in fact have any value.
That's quite concerning. Harold in Pretoria, good afternoon.
Hi. I just want to say to your guest, please, we really don't care much about collecting monies of the past. We just want to cancel the damn thing, which is worthless, and stop paying our levy costs. That's all we're really interested in. I know I'm speaking on a few people, but I can't speak for everybody. It'll be nice to get the money, but we're really not interested. I don't want to go into battles about getting my monies, which I paid for. Just stop the damn thing, which I think we should have a right to, because to pay. Now, I've just read over the weekend, as on in the newspaper, where pensioners have said to these people, I cannot afford to pay you. And then they said, then we will take you to the court.
Jeez.
If you don't pay, or you must have your children paying for this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the one point. The second point is, what is so disturbing from a human perspective and from an ethical point of view, the manner in which these people have unashamedly and so disgustingly leopardly and by blatantly lying to them how and what members they can and how they should send, and then promising them holidays and prizes when they arrive there. It never happens.
Mm-hmm.
They always say to these people, and I've met so many people say, oh my God, I was told by the call center that you already won one of the three prizes. All you have to do is wait. When they come there, they always say, no, we never said that. There's never any holidays to be won. There's never prizes won. There's only one thing to be won. It's they win and they lure you into these competitions. I've got one which cost us thousands of rands. We've used it once and we were not able to, we've got it for 9 years now. 9 years, we cannot get a booking.
Jeez,
and we can't
Harold.
Go anywhere. It's worthless and we're paying up to 7,000 rand a year for levy costs already. That's all. All we want is just cancel the damn thing so I don't have to owe you anymore.
Gosh,
and we've
Harold.
Gone to them and they try to tell us some other stories how we can get it and how we can have it better utilized, etc. It never happens, Azania. It never happens.
I'll get more details from Trudy about what happens now, but thank you for that. Here's another frustrated timeshare member. Grant, you're the final one on this. What's been your experience?
Well, I'm going to try and keep it short. I was with Flexi Club. I then decided, look, cannot afford these 1,500 rand escalating to 1,700 rand a month levy payments. I had a very good weekend. I worked it out that if I bought that what I had, it would be 150,000 rands worth. I had to cancel it, and then, or I wanted to then cancel it, and like the previous gentleman, it was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that they ended up telling me I have just in time. If I make my last levy installment of 1,500 rand, I then can cancel it. In other words, I had to pay another 1,500 rand to cancel it.
Mm-hmm.
But the best part is, if I was 1 month too late, I'd have to pay another year's levy before I could cancel it again.
Oh, is that the penalty?
And I literally threw 150,000 rand in the loop because, you know, their points are supposedly when you go and buy it, when you're this interested individual, it's like a 1 rand 50 or 1 rand 20 per point. I couldn't throw it at anybody for free. Nobody would take it for 20 cents a point.
Yeah, I can imagine why.
I would like
the anger in your
long.
Voice.
I'd like to just interrupt quickly. Trudy, if she could just advise me. I've now gone through the cancellation, but I'd love to stick it to them. I've got emails. Hopefully, I've got it. Do I still have a case now that I have already managed to cancel it? Because I would love to take them on.
Club. Grant, thank you for that. Trudy, what do you say to our two frustrated listeners? You can just hear their anger.
Yes. It's the same story that I hear from all of my clients, I'm sorry to say. With regard to both of them, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I'm absolutely confident that I've got proper legal grounds to cancel the contracts and then to tackle the timeshare companies in a class action next year to get a return of all of the funds that the clients have paid over the years.
Yes.
I think Vic also mentioned a rental pool arrangement. That's not the traditional timeshare setup. It's a share block scheme, I think, that he's describing.
Okay.
So those are a little bit better. There's an underlying asset, but unfortunately, the holiday cabs don't have an underlying asset. You just have a sort of a nebulous right, which may never arrive on your doorstep.
Well, thank you very much, Trudy. Thank you for explaining it all, that these contracts are void and under which laws. And I hope that more people contact you so that there is weight behind the application next year.
I'm confident that that's going to be the case already. Thanks so much for
the
chance to talk to you, Zanya.
Thank you. That's Trudy Brockman from Trudy Brockman Attorneys.